Hey guys, it's Eric Carpucci, and I'm back with another review for you. And this time, it's Elden Ring. I'll be reviewing the PS4 and PS5 version. excuse me about that. But hopefully I'll be able to cover the Xbox version in a future update during the podcast. But maybe the PC version as well at some point. But for now, it's just those two formats. But, Elden Ring is the latest game in the Souls series from From Software. Had to make sure I said it differently, because that's a weird name for any company. In case anybody doesn't know, the Souls series began with Demon's Souls way back in 2009 and continued till today. And ended with the Dark Souls series, and this is the successor series of the entire franchise, I guess, because they're essentially the same game, even though things change here and there, and the setting's completely different, unlike before, which had callbacks and references and using a lot of the same assets. But, this is a completely new setting, and George R. R. Martin did help create the world, either through item descriptions or maybe direct inspiration for some characters, even though apparently his role was minimal. I'm sure he had some kind of influence. And, in fact, one of the weapons in the game was actually, or two of the weapons in the game were actually inspired by his book, The Song of Fire and Ice. And one of those weapons is a Sword of Night and Flame, and the other one is the Grafted Greatsword, which looks like the chair made out of swords from the Game of Thrones series that's on HBO, but which is obviously based on books, which have different names. Kind of confusing, but and there's a lot of turtles, which apparently are direct inspiration from the fact that George R. R. Martin really likes turtles as pets, so there's a tons of turtles in this game that you can look for. Unfortunately, the messaging system is such that it doesn't include the word turtle, so every time you see somebody putting a message for turtle, it'll probably say dog. So that's the goofy messaging system of this game. But back to the gameplay. They've switched from closed environments to an open world one, and you're using that to traverse between the legacy dungeons, which play like a classic Souls game, where you go in an area and just get through the shortcuts and stuff like that. But thankfully, because the world's so big, you get a horse at some point very early in the game, and that cuts down on travel time, as well as the ability to fast travel from anywhere, as long as you aren't in one of the mini dungeons, which won't let you fast travel to any point from anywhere until you completed the mini dungeon. But all the other fast travel points, you can just click on the map, because this game is the first Souls game that actually has a map. You just go to pull down a list, or you can go to a point in the map and just warp there. Sometimes it's more convenient to do one or the other, but the gameplay is mostly the same as Souls games, but there are quite a few quality of life improvements. Combat is much more fluid, like as in Sekiro, and in fact there's more stealth mechanics at play. There are no instant kills like Sekiro, but like you can still do backstabs and get through areas by sneaking around in case you feel like you're not confident in your combat abilities, or you just don't want to deal with a tough opponent that you've had trouble with. So the game gives you options to get around places or to confront your enemies, because the Ashes of War are basically the game's way of letting you do a much more manageable weapon art system that was present in Dark Souls 3 and then expanded upon in Sekiro, and really expanded upon this, because you can not only freely swap with Ashes of War weapons using at any given point, but you can also if you've got the proper whetstone, switch to any of the game's different damage types. You can make your weapon a faith whip scaling weapon, or a even just a fire scaling weapon, or whatever, or a magic scaling weapon, and that will greatly help you decide what kind of build you want and what kind of packs you want to be able to use. And it's great for melee users because there's different types of skills you can use to get around the fact that you might not use magic, because a lot of these skills feel like they're magical in nature because they can feel overpowered. Some of them are probably going to get nerfed, some of them already have, while others have gotten improved to overcompensate, maybe. But that's all part of the balancing game. But, like I said, there's, like, different ways to approach an enemy and different build types you can do. And I don't think I've had as much fun with a Souls game probably since Dark Souls 3, which is my top favorite. A lot of people like 1, but that's mine. A lot of other people like 2. I like it for what it is, but I don't think it's as good as the others, in my opinion. So this game, in my opinion, has basically surpassed Bloodborne as my favorite Souls game. But, like, an actual Souls game, Dark Souls 3 would take that title, but, like, the entire franchise, Bloodborne was on top. Now it's this game, because there's a lot to do, all of it's fun, and the ability to, like, tailor your experience to tackle any specific challenge is welcome, because the respect option is also much easier to do in this game. Although there is a bit of a snag with a caveat that you need certain items, and if you're doing New Game Plus, you won't be able to respec again until you get to the second dungeon and beat the main boss of that area and are allowed to respec again. So if you're going into New Game Plus and you want to respec to something else to mess around with that kind of character type or build, you better do it before you start the next cycle. So that's just a tip from me to you. But if you're a fan of the Souls series, or even just curious, Elden Ring's a good really place to start. And the only things I'd count against it would be the fact that the game has gone through a couple updates, and while it's nice that they've updated the ability to see NPCs on the map, things like the walking mausoleums being labeled on the map would have been nice. So you're still going to have to do that by yourself. And those areas, I didn't even mention before, let you use the boss souls, which are called remembrances in this game, probably taking after Sekiro. But they basically give you the ability to get another one of those, so you can get the other weapon or whatever ability that boss had, in case you picked one of the other ones, or if you want to get a second weapon from that boss so you can dual wield, because power stancing has returned in this game. But like I said, if you're curious, it's a good place to start, and you really can't go wrong with it, and it's definitely worth the $60 price tag, although it's probably going to be going down soon, so if you want to wait a little bit, you probably should. And if you buy the digital version on PS4 and PS5, you get both, and you don't have to do what I did, which to get the trophies, which I played the PS5 version, and I had to play the PS4 version, and I had to re-get all the trophies again. But if you play PS4 version first, and then transfer your save over, all your achievements will auto-pop. But for me, it was more of an excuse to just play as a different character build, which is a testament to how engaging this game is, and I've spent countless hours and probably overstaying my time to have to get to bed to go to work the next day. I've ruined myself basically playing this game. But maybe you'll have more self-control than I did, but that's just a testament to how much I enjoyed it, which is why I'm giving this game a 10 out of 10. And that's it for today. See you guys later. Bye-bye.